towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So I might suggest that we just take a moment to sort of gather all the particles in our breath, sort of center right here, right now, for the next hour. And we begin. So as mentioned earlier today, I'd like to share from this text a bowl of sake. Their daily 360 days concentrations by Hazrat Inayat Khan and a commentary by Murshid Samuel Lewis. And up until now, this has only been available in very poorly copied or mimeographed pages that have gotten passed around. But anyway, you may want to take a look at this. We have some copies with the blessing of Pir Shabda, who thought it would be a very good idea to kind of promote the book and make people aware of this text. Yeah, for the benefit of the recording, we're sitting outside under a beautiful blue tent with beautiful souls gathered, and you're hearing the sounds of the lake. Not exactly the lake, the vehicles on the lake. And children's voices and the activity of the camp. So this allows us that are here to concentrate more deeply and focus. I'm going to jump right in because we don't have much time. So this is the first day that we're offering this, and the keynote of the day is harmony from this teaching. So this is a good one for us to all. We've all come from these different places and different energies and different experiences, but for us to harmonize, what a great thing. Yay, harmony, right? So the bowl of sake from May 24th by Hazrat Inayat Khan. Discussion is for those who say, what I say is right, and what you say is wrong. A sage never says such a thing. Hence, there's no discussion. How great is that? Right? Period. We can all go home.
Meaning's over.
Isn't that great? Oh my gosh, all the debates, all the discussions. Shall I read it again?
Yes, please.
Again, the words of Hazrat Inayat Khan from the Bowl of Sake, May 24th. Discussion is for those who say, what I say is right and what you say is wrong. A sage never says such a thing. Hence, there is no discussion. My God, how beautifully simple is that? Now, Murshid Sam, I think he has very luminous words on all these different topics. Really would encourage you to get the book. So from the reading, this is commentary by Murshid Sam. Discussion is an activity of the discriminating mind. It is the offspring of nafs, of the ego. Not even the prophets discuss when they denounce or arraign. They may utter a diatribe, but they do not argue. They may utter a diatribe. You all know what that means, right? Some of you that know Nuria very well have known she gets in her diatribes. Not that I'm a prophet, but you know, maybe that's my nafs, I don't know. But anyway, a diatribe. But there are two courses. To stand firm to the point of view of God, knowing it is the point of view of God, or to reconcile as far as possible to the point of view of another without antagonizing another. Yeah, I know. I thought so. Okay. Listen. Discussion is an activity of the discriminating mind. It is the offspring of nafs. Not even the prophets discuss when they denounce or arraign. They may utter a diatribe, but they do not argue. There are but two courses: to stand firm to the point of view of God, knowing it is the point of view of God, or to reconcile so far as possible, so oneself reconciling, yeah, to reconcile as far as possible to the point of view of another without antagonizing the other. This last is the common action of the seer, especially in dealing with an individual, no matter how wicked. The former should only be used in a general way to move the masses of humanity in time of great peril. So in other words, a diatribe that may lead to one seeing this, you know, or the revelation that this is the point of view of God and one must act for the better of humanity in spite of opposition, which we've seen all the great prophets encounter, even sometimes at the cost of their own life, or if one can, to reconcile oneself and one's actions with the moment or the individual. I think it's so important for us to realize that there are, let's face it, there are wicked and there are treacherous people, but that is the veil that's over the soul. Everyone has the light of the divine in themselves. They may not know it. They may be used as agents or devices of another force, but everyone has it. Would you agree? Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we don't know it or can't feel it, and we say, where's God in this? An acquaintance of mine in Kansas City, some of you, I don't know if this made the national news, I really don't, but there were some shootings at the Jewish center in our area, and three people were killed, and one of them was an acquaintance, and we went to the funeral, and you know, to see that family in such terrible grief, sudden grief, unexpected grief. It wasn't a car accident, it wasn't an illness, someone went and shot the mother, the wife. You know, how do you reconcile that? But one seeks the faith. That's faith at that point, not even belief, it's faith. And I'll tell you something beautiful that mother wrote on her Facebook right before she left to go to that center. Can you imagine? The last message she wrote was to her children. And she said, to my children, you know that part where I tell you I love you all the time? I mean that. Is that just so beautiful? Maybe there was some sense that she needed to say that. That was a prophetic moment for that woman, wasn't it? How beautiful. How beautiful. We have room for you, my dear, if you'd like to sit with us. So some of us in our more inner circle know that we've been working with this practice, salam. Salam. And I'm reading, I unfortunately don't have a copy of this text, but it's a beautiful text also produced by the Sufi Rahaniyat International called The Physicians of the Heart, the names of Allah, the names of God. So I'm reading from that because I think it's a very illuminating text, and it's something that some of our friends and teachers have given great effort to. And then we'll work with the practice, and hopefully you'll see the connection to this first piece of Murshid Sam's commentary and Inayat Khan's, Murshid Inayat Khan's teaching. So again, from The Physicians of the Heart. As-Salam is the one who is peaceful. It is the maqam. The maqam is the spiritual station of complete peace, where this perfect peace is embodied in every peaceful act. This divine quality is recommended as a greeting when meeting others. As-Salam, salam, salam, right? And its recitation is an antidote to disharmony in our relationships. This camp and camps like this are so great because you know what? We come with all these intentions, love, harmony, and beauty, and bam, right? God, you know, something happens, and it's like, here it is again, and I'm at CV camp, and I don't feel so much love, harmony, and beauty, and I'm just kind of pissed off right now, right? Ya salam. Salam.
It's right on.
Is it right on? Right on, brother. Okay. The peace of As-Salam is not a dead place. I think that's so significant because, you know, we think, I'm going to be, you know. For the benefits of the recording, I'm pretending I'm in Samadhi, but not. Okay. The peace of As-Salam is not a dead place, nor should it be seen as simply the end of hostilities. We don't really learn from that, do we? We have to be fully alive, and we have to navigate gracefully the hostilities, perhaps. So it is not the end to any hostilities or any kind of mere cessation. It's divine energy that bestows peace itself on us, and it is the miraculous word. Ooh, Nuri is teaching magic. Okay. The miraculous word that Allah speaks to our souls. Do you even hear it here? Yes, salam, salam, salam. The sound of the machine, whatever that is.
The Quran says, and the, to the companions of the right hand, the greeting to them will be peace.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I hear it in the machine.
Do you hear it in the machine? Don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
In all lives.
It's even doing. Yes, salam, yes, salam, yes, salam. It's there. Ya salam may be repeated as a prayer of blessings for those who have departed. It brings the knowledge of not being abandoned at death to those who may be grieving, and to the departed souls as well. So for a moment, can we remember our brother Ayaz, who was with us the last mini camps, and I believe in some ways is sharing in this breath. So let us work with this wazifa, this sacred word. The first syllable, sa, is rather short. The last syllable, lam, lam, is a little bit longer. So we can say it that way. Hopefully you'll feel it. You can hear it here too. Ya salam, Ya Salaam, 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 Ya Salaam. Now whisper, breathing in Salaam and out Salaam, 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 silently on the breath, remembering this is the miraculous word that God speaks to your soul. Breathe that in, breathe that out, letting that sound vibrate the core, the deepest part of your being, the soul. Ya Salaam. Just a few words about the sound of the machine. It was a beautiful teaching that my Rinpoche, Compto Rinpoche, gave to me one time about all these sounds, these external sounds that can be distractions or sights or, you know, whatever it can be. But he said to me, I remember we were sitting in this room in his monastery, and you could see we were in the Himalayan mountains, so he kind of looked out the window like this, and he said, Nuria, hear all sounds as the deity's speech, and all form as the deity's form. So to hear the mantra in all of these sounds, so even in a jackhammer or somebody's voice you don't like, you know, it's the speech of the whatever inspires you. It's the vision of whatever inspires you. This is really the meaning of Tantra. You know, people think it's the baloney and the yoni. It's not just that. It's the, you get what I'm saying? No one's laughing. They didn't quite get it.
I thought that was a new one you were giving.
But you know what I'm saying? It's not a sexual construct or activity. It is this transformation of things into this, you know, beautiful existence, which really is, but we're veiled from it. So we're back to Murshid Samuel Lewis's words. He says, the fact is that the you, and that's in quotes, is always wrong. The fact is that the you, in quotes, is always wrong. I-ness, my-ness, you-ness, you-ness, you, not Eunice. I'm going to be someone here, Eunice, and it's like, Nuri is dissing me. Why? I don't even know her. Okay. The fact is that the you is always wrong. The I-ness, my-ness, you-ness, your-ness constitute the essence, if such it can be called, of what is wrong. The separation, right? It is the very nucleus of evil. I mean, when we can separate from another being like that, then we can objectify them and we can bring great harm without much thought. And we see this endlessly.
Objectifying, I like that.
Right?
Because then you're...
Yeah. We all do it. You know, we do. But if we can catch ourselves, the more we can catch ourselves, the more we can see and be really honest with ourselves. It's so good. And it would be very helpful for us. We will be happier. The world would be happier. Well, I would call it not happiness. I would call it wholesome. Things would become more wholesome.
So can you explicitly say when somebody's voice is something that you don't want to hear, how you can non-objectify that in a moment it would take 30 seconds at least, wouldn't it? Or is it instant with you, consistently?
Oh, I can't say that. I make no pretense. Everyone's a human. I'm an Italian temperament, so I'm very quick, and I have to watch that. I'm learning. But I will say this, and I've been married now 10 years, going towards 11. I have to say that I have remained very mindful in my marriage. I can't say I was always that way with everyone. You all know me, you know. We all know each other. It's our great mirrors are sitting amongst us. But I have never said anything to Joe, and I think he would say that too, that I have had to say, I've regret. I never want to say anything that hurts him so much that he can't recover from that, or that he can't forget that I've wounded him in that way. I think it's so, and you know, so if I can practice that in that relationship, I can practice it in others, because it's sometimes hardest with the closest people to us.
Yeah.
And I think once that bell's rung, it can't be unrung. You can't unsay it.
Mm.
You cannot unsay it. It's, you know, when I was in Catholic school, I must have had mystics amongst my teachers, because they would say things to me, to the class, for example, imagine that the vibrations of Jesus' breath resonates into the infinite universe, and you are part of that. Or they would say things like, the sounds that have been created by the great masters like Beethoven or Mozart, those vibrations still exist in the whole universe. Imagine that. So what are we tuning to? I guess it's a harmony is the subject today. What are we tuning to, right? And you know yourself, there's been so many instances, right, where you've said or done something and you just have such deep regret. We're so hard on ourselves too, and well, we have to learn from that, you know.
Well, and I think when I do it, it's almost from a knee-jerk reaction of fear more than anger.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I feel deeply wounded and I strike back.
Yeah.
And I'm like you, I'm watching.
Yeah. We if we can watch it and just, you know, like every time or even if it you make the mistake, it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to recommit to not do that, and I'm going to really have deep regret, and I'm going to make a prayer that can, you know, be transformed. It's good to do that, and Salaam helps that, and work with that, you know, when it comes up. Work with that when it comes up. Okay? It's an alive place too. It's not that dead, I'm going to be a spacey place. It's an alive, it's an active piece. I have to keep checking my time. It's a short period of time we have. All right. Well, while I say let's work with Salaam, let's work with it some more, shall we? Does anyone else have anything else to share or comment? Yes, please.
I'm learning as a new Sufi.
Yeah.
An old Sufi, but newly initiated within you.
Yes.
That the more you study the names,
yeah,
the quicker the name will come to you to chant over the annoying person's voice you don't want to hear. And that one will come to you.
Yeah.
That name for that person. Or whatever you
right,
want.
I do know.
You have to learn the names, and then they recall. If you don't know the names, you won't know which name to call on. It won't come up.
One of the some of you know her, Arifa Miller. She's deceased now, but she was a very, she was one of the senior members of our Sufi order years and years ago. And we became good friends through working together on a project for Pir Vilayat. And I remember, we just spent a lot of time together. A lot of times I'd stay in her room if I was at the abode. And so there would be things that would come up and I'd be just yippity-yappitying about it. And she would just look at me and she would say, Nuria? Oh, what do you think the lesson is for you in that? So if it was something that was troubling me, or I felt like someone, you know, whatever, you know, it usually has to do with other people. It can do with oneself too. And she'd say, what do you think? And she would sometimes say, what do you think God's trying to teach you? That's a good way to look at it.
Rumi's words, someone pours a cup of
Someone pours a cup of.
Someone pours a cup in front of you.
In front of you.
And all I taste is emptiness.
And all I taste is emptiness.
Something opens my wings. Someone pours a cup in front of me.
Yeah, in that emptiness, there's an infinite world of possibilities, isn't there?
Exactly.
That's a really vast subject, emptiness. It's from the Buddhist perspective, vast subject. That's another camp altogether.
There wouldn't be anyone there.
Yeah. No you-ness, no I-ness, no your-ness, no what, right? That's exactly what it he's in a way, yeah. You know, I mean, Mercer Sam was a great Buddhist master also. He understood all of that. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's who's the I that doesn't like the sound of that voice or what someone's telling me. I'm more and more, you know, when you're a big personality or the kind of person where you walk in the room and everybody notices, everybody wants to teach you something too. You get what I'm telling you? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes it's putting people in their place, mm-hmm. they think. I have more and more come to the place where it's like, thank you. Whatever it is, it's thank you. And sometimes I'll say, I'll take that into consideration.
If you're feeling really generous.
Well, I always do, don't you? Don't you? You always have to think. I do. I always feel like it's good to think about it. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes good to solicit criticism, too.
Or does your mind go, yassalam, yassalam, because I really don't want to hear what you're saying.
Yeah. No, and sometimes it's your, you know, that's happened sometimes where people are, you have to understand, we've done that in another class, is this projection or reflection? Uh-huh. Right? Is it projection or reflection?
Yeah.
And just because they say it doesn't mean it's about you. It could be about them, and they need to see it in another them, and that other them is you. But it, again, now we're you-ness, I-ness, me-ness, I-minus. But this is the convention that we live in, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking about what Yasmin was saying, too. It's like, I've noticed that in doing the practice, it's in the moments that I need it. Like when I'm at work and there's that situation arising, that the practice does come. It's through that repetition. It's in there. It's in your being. And then in the moment you need it, it rises. And it's like, here it is. The awareness of the situation. And it's like, oh, I don't need to do this. You know, even mm-hmm. just hearing the word once, it's like, oh, here it is. You know, so it does. It goes into our being. The practice
yes.
goes into our being and works us. I think.
Yeah, we do the practice and then the practice does us. And you, Karima Gita and I have been, gosh, I always tease that we're kind of in the longest relationship that either one of us have had. You know, we've been friends for so long yeah. time. And so we share, but that's something that I know is very vital for Karima Gita right now, is that what we're doing in our Army Read Circle is we're all working on the same practices. And that, and there are people in all different parts of the world doing that practice collectively, and it creates a kind of magnetism or connection. And we have an online group that we can share with each other. And some people are more apt to share, and some people are voyeuristic, but that's okay, too. when people need to speak or feel they want, would like to speak, they do. But at any rate, there's something that magnetizes the practice by doing it in group, like here being at these camps. And so there are themes that happen. You know, we think we're going through something alone, but sure enough, somebody else in another part of the world is going through that exact same thing. So I found that there are themes in our group, right? And so when we work collectively together, it's very helpful, I think, to support each other. But Karima Gita has been mentioning that a lot. When she needs it, it's there more and more. But, mm-hmm. well, you've been a practitioner for a while, too. Half your life, too. So... And she's a good student, I will say that. And a good teacher, too. We can learn from everyone. Everyone's our teacher. I've gotten a lot of bites, little chigger bites. And this morning I was very uncomfortable. And I thought to myself, this is to teach me patience. More patience, not to itch or be agitated by the discomfort. You know, just be patient. It's okay. It will pass. It'll all pass. So, Ya Salaam. Ya Salaam. You can find your own note, too. Ya Salaam. Ya Salaam, Ya Salaam. 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 Whisper. Salaam. Just Salaam now. Salaam. 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 Silently, the miraculous word that God is always speaking to your soul. Ya Salaam. Again from Murshid Samuel Lewis. When one serves God, one strives to lead others toward God, which is best done in the spirit of love and harmony. To criticize or admonish another to prove that one is right is never the habit of the Sufi. If one could sum Sufism, you know, people try to, what is Sufism? Oh, it's not this, it's that. I think most people would say it's taking into consideration one's own point of view and the point of view of another. No. This morning was about give and take, remember? Give and take.
Is it the same as the ritual printing? Are they the same? Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that I'm very glad you asked that, and I think Murshid Wali Ali addresses that in the introduction. We worked very hard to work with the oldest text that we could find of Hazaret and icons. Now, I will say that the Sufi movement, as you know, most of you know that I'm representing at this time of my life. Who knows, next week, whatever. But, you know, I swim in all the streams and I love them all. I've benefited from them all. But the Sufi movement feels, did I say the Sufi order or the Sufi movement? Movement. I meant the Sufi movement. The Sufi movement is the organization that feels the great responsibility of keeping as close to possible to the original words, to the original practices, etc., etc. I'm very happy to be connected with that because that's always been, I've been swimming towards that. I feel like I'm drinking at the headwaters. The Rouhaniyat and all the other organizations have a very beautiful transmission and interpretation sometimes. And part of the Rouhaniyat's initiative is working towards gender-inclusive language. And so, Murshid Wali Ali, with great tenderness and care, maybe made some slight changes without changing the language. Both of we kept the original quotes of Hazaret and Icon, but he maybe changed some of the words of Murshid Sam to be more gender inclusive. And I think that's very beautiful, and acknowledging the feminine ray, you know, and that's important and to a lot of people. And so that's an initiative of that organization. I know the Sufi order is very much dedicated to that as well. And I think that's beautiful. That's great.
It was from yesterday. I read that yesterday, so it's from yesterday's Bolasaki that we just read in the 1972 edition.
Oh, that's in the 1972 edition. Okay.
I just read it yesterday. That's why I thought it might be this morning. All
right. Oh.
And I love the old one, too.
Is it pretty much changed all the way through or just partial?
Yesterday was the 23rd, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In this one it says, every person's desire is according to their evolution. That's Anayat Khan's words. Mm-hmm. That which they are ready for is the desirable thing for them.
It would be the last line of Murshid Sam's, of course. It was either today or yesterday, but whatever, that's fine. I just want to make sure when you mention it today, I want to ask that question about the new one.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand that. I'd like to have that one too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the quotes of Anayat Khan may change, but of course the commentary would always remain the same each day, right, by Murshid Sam. But I will tell you, if, you know, I'm hoping that this book is maybe the first of many, because Murshid Sam also gave very illuminating commentary on the Gathas and other teachings of Anayat Khan, and I think it's very beautiful to have that extrapolation. The other person that's doing beautiful work along that line is Wahiduddin on his website. Mm-hmm. He himself finds other teachings within the text of an icon to illuminate the bowl of sake. And if you don't know about the confraternity, I gave you a plug, by the way. Everyone, you're going to be sold out. Make more. We passed it around. But in there is a Yahoo group called the Confraternity, and Mikael Davenport does a beautiful job of not working with the bowl of sake, but with the sayings and then commentary, which is also extrapolated from Hazaret and Icon's own teachings. Beautiful, really beautiful. So those are little sips one can get via email daily. And there's also a website at the Rouhaniyat.org. There's a link to this book, and you can kind of read today's bowl of sake and yesterday's bowl of sake and tomorrow's bowl of sake. So those are online as well. But buy the book and support the organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Or buy two. We have friends.
Have a friend. Yeah.
Good gift.
The new book will be better for sharing with people who've never seen it. Because the old,
it is indeed
my 1972 book when I bring it out, go here, and they're like, wow, let's dust that thing.
Is that a typo?
But I love it too. The first printing they did.
Yeah, and if you find any in this, we'd like to know so we can. May the blessings of God rest upon you. May God's peace be with you. May God's presence illuminate your hearts now and forevermore. Amen. Ya salam.